There is a threshold, honest to God, and I wish y'all could experience it for yourself. Why do you think I'm about to go on this journey to rediscover myself? I retired when I was 37, and then I went back into corporate America. My businesses was doing better than ever before. Every year has always been 20 to 25% better than it was the year before. What do you do? When I see people a lot of times that say, for example, oh man, I'm going to retire at 30. I can't wait to work till I'm 30. I used to coach a guy that said that all the time. And then he got to the number that he wanted to, and then he worked harder than he ever had before. He got to the number that he wanted to, and then he worked harder than he ever had before. Why do you think that people ultimately go on another journey? Why do you think that the word of God says the love of money is the root of all evil, and not to worship it, but to use it as a tool? It can answer a lot of things, but it shouldn't be the thing that drives you once you get past a certain point. You can use that as motivation when you ain't got nothing. When you don't have nothing, money becomes your driving motivation. You want to be successful. You want to be rich. You want to change your life. It could do so much for me. It could pay off my debt. It could change my life. I could put my kids in better schools. I could buy the house that I always wanted. What can you do with 10 rooms that you can't do with 5 rooms? Once you get there, then that's when you either going to do two things. You either going to crash out. You're going to crash out. And that's why a lot of these guys become addicted to drugs. They start living these alternative lifestyles because they never developed the character to go along with it. Either you're going to crash out, or you're going to seek to find purpose in other things. For people like me, I would prefer to go and chase God. I would prefer to go and find more purpose. I would prefer to go and discover the world. I would prefer to go and find more cultural norms. You're never going to get more satisfied. You know, you got your hobbies, you got your things that you're passionate about or whatever. But if you can get 10 cars, 20 is not going to change anything for you. If you can get 20 cars, 40 is not going to change anything for you. Your garage is going to basically become a museum. Your garage is going to become a museum. You're not going to even drive them. You're going to buy them to look at them. When I see guys, for example, I'll tell you an example. I went to the racetrack up here in Pontiac, here in Michigan, right? And they got these garages. And I was once inspired by it some years ago. But now that I can afford to buy one myself, I don't want anyone because I'm going to just build my own garage on my own property. But they got these garages. And I met a guy, and he was saying that when his wife died, he kind of lost himself. And so that's one of the reasons why he bought his garage. And if you go through and you do a tour of it, it's got, matter of fact, you know what? Let me show it to you. I'm glad that I have my camera with me a lot of times because I'm able to document some stuff and find some things. Let me see. This was, when did I drop this video? This was about 5 years ago. This was more than five. So this was way before the pandemic. Let's see if I can pull this up. Give me a second. This is what inspired me to go and start buying Porsches. This was a guy's garage. And so you guys know that I'm not capping. I went and visited his garage, and I went and visited what they was doing over at the Pontiac racetrack. So if you go over to these places, right, and this is the racetrack, and this is where we was going to visit his place or whatever. And so I went and visited his garage. My dog, Sean, this is a guy that I actually went to high school with.
On this whole journey.
Tito, courtesy of Tito.
Look at that.
Recap.
So this is a work of art, bro.
This is my best friend in high school.
Here is Prohibition.
So this guy right here, he was saying that his wife passed away, and this is one of the reasons why he bought a garage, and then he started collecting exotic cars, and he bought like Al Capone's gun and a bunch of different stuff like that.
Gangster. Everything in here is kind of old looking.
This got me inspired to buy my first 911.
Everything in here is pretty real too, like the telephones are
20s.
You guys here every day?
No.
I wish.
This thing is beautiful. All that carbon fiber.
That's it. Light as can be.
Men's bathroom, guys, is down here.
We have a stainless steel jail cell toilet.
And we have a keg urinal.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
We have three windows in the building. All three have...
And this guy has stayed a mentor, so I'm still in touch with him. And, you know, he's generated a lot of money, but he was telling us a story. And so I'm going to play a little bit more, and then I'll give you a little bit of insight.
Real 1920s women. Electric panel. We just got big deals.
Let me see if I can fast
these
forward.
These are off a tractor from the 20s. We got matching ones. So our sink is a still. The water goes up still, and it comes out bottom.
All our doors are speakeasy doors.
That's pretty cool.
So he built a whole bar. He built the whole thing in there. And then you go in and you sit out there. It's like the ultimate man cave.
Take it all.
And you can go out there and you can race your cars. And so it's literally on a racetrack and all of these different things, right? And so that's the view. And then we went out there and we drove Porsches. We drove a bunch of Lexuses. He got the John Dillinger guns and all of that stuff. And then there's some stuff that I couldn't even show because he asked me not to show it on camera.
Bro, I'm about to redo my whole house. Oh, man. I hear that. Sounds like the perfect advice.
Who knows how long anybody's going to live.
Yep.
And you can hear him. He said, listen, I'm going to just enjoy life. Who knows how long is anybody is going to live. And he tells us about his wife dying. And he says about how he's just going to really, really let go. And he started spending money and he started really enjoying life. And one of the things that he said that really stuck with me. One of the things that he was saying when we were sitting there having a conversation with him, and this is another reason why you guys have to get out of your comfort zone. Stop just being around your own people. You only want to go black. You only want to be in the hood. You have to go and experience life and listen to other people that also have things that they can impart to you, things that they can share with you. It may not even resonate with you at that particular moment, but it is going to truly, truly stick with you, or it's going to come back to you at a different time. And then when you hit certain points in your life, especially in successes, you realize, wait a minute, I'm crossing a threshold, or I'm past the threshold that he got to. And this was the advice that he gave me, you know what I'm saying? At a time where I was just now starting to get into this space, which is one of the reasons why my homeboy invited me to come and meet with him in the first place. And he became a mentor, right? And so he was sharing his story.
It's original to me.
Yeah.
And that gun is actually the gun from Pretty Boy.
So anyways, he started going into all of that. And I say all that to say that one of the things that he said, again, that resonated with me today was he was going to start driving the cars that he was collecting instead of just collecting the cars and trying to preserve the wealth of them and the net worth and stuff like that. He's going to start wearing the watches. He's going to start playing with the toys. When he buys a car that, you know what I'm saying, could go up in value, he doesn't care. He's just going to start driving them. It's because you realize once you get to a threshold in your life from a money perspective that other people will never be able to relate to. You know, I'll show stuff on my vlog and I'll say, yeah, man, I bought this car, or man, I just ordered this car, or I just got this. And I'll see somebody in the comments and they say, you could have bought some land with that. You could have built, how many more houses do you want me to build at a time? Like, at what point do you start to discover or push yourself or find yourself or do things that you normally wouldn't do? At what point do you let go of the hood mentality? Do you stop worrying about money? Do you stop worrying about what other people think? And that is the part that I think that Elon Musk is crossing. I think that Elon Musk crossed the threshold of what normal people think that life is about. And he's really starting to push the boundaries, which is one of the reasons why he started to get involved in things that we would say, man, but it's going to cut into his net worth. It probably chopped his net worth in half. He was worth $400 billion. Now he's worth $200 billion. Well, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? 200, 400, it all just becomes numbers on a board. At some point when you realize that you're never going to go broke and your life circumstances is not going to change from a financial perspective, that's when you start to live life. That is the threshold that I hope everybody get to at one point. That is the threshold that I hope that people get to at some point is when you stop being concerned about the cares of this world and you start to try to discover what life is truly about us and what is your purpose on this earth. Some people, I believe their purpose is just truly to serve other people. Other people, I think that their purpose is just to be full of the devil. Some people, I think that their purpose is to try to discover what their purpose is for the rest of their life and then they die. But then their kids is going to come up and they're going to put something in their kids that then drive them to be super successful and transform the world. At some point, you start to figure out, you know what? I could be fiscally responsible. I could take care of business. I can be on top of things. But I also have to figure out what is going to allow for me to truly get the most out of life. And it's not going to be a number. It's never going to be a number. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be a number. And I pray that everybody that is watching this right now, they truly are able to experience that, because life is not the same when you don't really understand exactly that you're discovering your purpose on a daily basis. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything. Remember when I was telling y'all the other day that once you get past 40, when you get past, let me share something with y'all really quickly. 2 minutes. When you first start making six figures, let's say you get past $10,000 a month, gross. You wetting your beak. That's when you're going to start getting curious. And that's when you start saying, you know what? I made it. You feel like you really started to make it. When you get past $20,000 a month in income, net worth is different. Everybody that has $1 million plus net worth can't live an extravagant lifestyle. They may be rich in your mind, but they don't have the resources. They can't really stretch out and live life. Most of their wealth is tied up in their 401k and in their home. They can't live it because they don't have the income to really do it. They may have some level of financial freedom when they retire, but they have to work and they can't live the life that they really want to live. When you start to generate around $20,000 to $25,000 a month, that's when it starts to become dangerous. And the reason that it becomes dangerous is because now you can afford to do the things that you really wanted to do and you don't have to worry about whether or not you're going to go in debt to do it. You ain't got no debt. You can pay off your debt. You're not worried about anything, but it's dangerous because you're not rich yet. When you get past $40,000 a month and you get it out of your system, that's when you can start to make some things shake. If you get past $40,000, $50,000 a month and you can make that consistently, that is going to be the joy phase. That is the phase where, and again, I'm adjusting for the times, I'm adjusting for inflation. That is going to be the phase where you can buy anything that you want. 40 and above, there's going to be a cap in the feelings that you feel. It don't matter. Once you get past $40,000, $45,000 a month, and I know that some of y'all are like, oh man, that's so unrelatable. When you get past $30,000, $40,000, $45,000, $50,000 a month, that is the threshold for happiness. Doesn't mean anything anymore. You can live where you want to live. You can buy what you want to buy. You can order as much food as you want. You can have maids come in. You could do whatever you want to do when you want to do it. You may not be like rich, rich, but you can pretty much figure out anything in life. At that point, life is on easy mode. It's the danger zone. It's the danger zone. I'm promising you, it's the because you can do whatever you want. There's nothing that nobody can tell you what to do. You're going to be stacking a lot. You can go anywhere. You don't have to worry about money. That is the danger zone. That is the zone where it's like, wait a minute, wait a minute. I'm here. That's your arrival moment. Nothing changes. Once you get past $100,000 a month, then it's the scoreboard. It's all about scoreboard, scorekeeping at that point. Because now you're chasing. Now you're saying, okay, well, what's the difference between me and you? Now you want to just hit numbers for the sake of hitting numbers. When you get past $100,000 a month, you can't find enough things to buy to spend it on. What you going to do? You going to get a bigger house. You don't got no debt. Your kids is already taken care of. The girl can go and buy whatever she wants. You can shop wherever you want to shop. You can blow the money. You just testing your limits at that point. You're testing the water. You're testing your limits. You're trying to see how far you can take it, how much you can transform your life, whose life you can impact as a result of it. Your mom is taken care of. Your people is taken care of. At that point, life is on easy mode. You're just trying to figure out how to minimize the amount that you're giving in taxes. It's the honest to God truth. But your threshold, the threshold for the emotional aspect of it is $40,000 to $50,000 a month. That's it. That's it. That's the threshold. Once you get past 40, you don't feel anything else. Your life is not going to dramatic. Yeah, okay, so you're going to get a hypercar instead of a supercar. Or, you know what I'm saying? Now you're just doing stuff to do it. You know what? I think I'm a fly private. You don't feel nothing past that. I don't think that Elon Musk has felt anything in a long time. I don't think he's felt anything in a long time. I think he's chasing what it feels like to be human. And to be human is the emotions, it's the ups and it's the downs, it's the issues, it's the problems, it's the victories, the failures. He hasn't failed at anything in a long time. Everything he does, he's going to win. It don't make no difference. He was giving away $1 million checks for no reason, for the way that people voted. Hey, you get $1 million. That didn't mean nothing to him. For somebody else, it's like, oh my God, that's life changing. For him, he like, probably make $1 million and a half a day. You gotta feel it, y'all. You gotta see it for yourself. You gotta feel it. You got to be able to get past all the little petty stuff. You're not arguing about petty stuff when you're making $40,000 to $50,000 a month consistently over a two, three. That's the whole mindset behind what Kevin Samuels was trying to explain to people about a high value man. A high value man is not just money. It's the value that he adds into the group. It's his network. It's his ability to consistently generate a certain amount of money over a longer period of time, because he's not going to have the same mindset as a guy that got it at one time or got it in a flurry or got it and couldn't sustain it, couldn't invest in it, couldn't create an environment for other people to thrive, couldn't hire people. High value man and how people are describing it today is completely different than what Kevin Samuels was trying to explain to people, but people can't visualize it because they're so caught up in their day-to-day dealings and their day-to-day issues that they're dealing with on a regular basis. You can't fathom the idea of what you would be able to do. You can't fathom the feeling of not having to deal with the nonsense or getting into a stupid, petty argument with your baby mama. Listen, you know what it feels like? I'm sorry I'm going on a little rant right here, but I'm gonna just tell y'all the honest to God truth. Do you know what it feels like to hear somebody complain about something petty when you're making millions and millions of dollars every single year consistently? It's dumb. You don't have those type of arguments when you're dealing with, you know what you lean into? You know what? You're just so spoiled. You so spoiled. Your girl is going to find things to have first world problems about. They're going to be leaning into their emotions. They're going to cry for no reason over perimenopause. Because it's not the same as getting into an argument with your girl because you're dusty or, you know, whatever. The arguments ain't the same. You're not going to have the same issues. The issues are going to be different. You know what your girl... Listen, I want you to experience your girl telling you, you're not hearing my emotions because I was never in it for the money in the first place. Honest to God, you don't even know what a chick, her emotional instability is until you get to a point in your life where they don't worry about money and they're sitting there having conversations with you about their emotional state of being.